From KALW's The Spiritual Edge podcast, this is our series, Sacred Steps. We take you around the world to meet some remarkable people as they lean on their values and faith to challenge the status quo. I'm Judy Silber. And if after you're listening, you want to hear more of these stories, follow our podcast, The Spiritual Edge. Here on The Spiritual Edge podcast, we tend to bounce around between religions. We like learning about the big ones, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism. We're endlessly fascinated by their variations. We're also really interested in the smaller religions, the ones that people know far less about. Jainism is a religion based in South Asia. It's practiced by about 6 million people. Despite the relatively small numbers, the Jain philosophy of nonviolence to all living things has had great influence beyond its small number of adherents. In this episode of our series, Sacred Steps, we hear from a Londoner who believes deeply in the good of Jain teachings and also in the power of technology, especially for education. Reporter Arthur Ahmed tells us how each influences the other.
I'm sitting in this small, cozy cafe in a quiet part of West London on a cold, wet, typically English Monday morning. The other shops near here, the generic franchises, faceless drive-thrus, and big stores, blend into the background. But the cafe I'm in stands out, starting with its name, Ahimsa.
Ahimsa means non-violence in Sanskrit, the inspiration behind opening this cafe.
That's Ratri, one of the managers who runs the cafe.
It's a very big part for the Jain religion, Ahimsa. We're basically here to eliminate animal suffering. And also Ahimsa means non-violence in thought, word and action. So everyone is welcome here. We do get a lot of Jain people coming here.
Like Ratri tells me, protection for all forms of life, from the largest mammals to the smallest bacteria, is at the heart of Jainism's ethos. And so everything on the menu at the Ahimsa Cafe is 100% vegan. No meat, dairy, or animal produce at all. Compared to other faiths, Jains are small in number. The last census in 2011 estimated the number in the UK to be around 20,000. Though community leaders believe the actual figure is almost three times as many. More on that later. The reason I'm at this cafe is to meet one of the most prominent Jains in the UK, Mehul Sangharajka. He was made an MBE, a member of the British Empire, by the UK government and Queen. It's an honour given to recognise outstanding contribution made to civic life. In Mehul's case, it's for his public service as a Jain and his work in education. I'm also here to enjoy breakfast.
We've got scrambled tofu, sausages, beans, spinach, tomatoes, mushrooms and toast. This is a full English breakfast, except it's 100% vegan.
It's brilliant. How often do you come to the cafe?
As often as I can, probably once a week.
Mehul is as British as this, even as his background placed him in distant regions of the Commonwealth.
I'm a Gujarati Indian. In terms of heritage, by birth I'm an African. I was born in Kenya, and I've lived almost 50 years in the UK. So I understand all of those identities, and I recognise all of those.
Mehul is the kind of guy who gets involved in lots of different things, but at the root of his motivations are his community and a desire to help people rise above their circumstances.
It gives me identity. It gives me a sense of purpose, a sense of being, but also a sense of who I am, because it largely defines, you know, my vision of right and wrong, what I see the purpose of this life as being. And also it's gone on to define my work and my attitude towards both my community and people around me. Well, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what profession I'm in, it doesn't matter where I live, those things will change. But this identity, you know, is something I've grown up with and it's never going to change.
Jainism isn't listed in the UK census alongside other major world faiths, as there isn't considered to be a large enough community in the UK. So there's no formal recognition for this ancient religion, which underpins everything Mehul does. It means there's no way to know exactly how many Jains there are in the UK or the size of the community. The UK census takes place every 10 years.
I think the census is therefore, you know, clearly lagging behind, clearly not doing what it needs to. And I think it's a matter of time. I think it's put us at the forefront of the debate. The government knows who we are. The Office of National Statistics knows who we are. It's been in Parliament. I think the contradiction, the impact of the contradiction for us, though, is very profound. And part of the reason is, if you look at who else is in the other section, it is those who don't believe in any faith and so on. So it's never taken seriously. So, you know, we are the largest religion in the other section, but we're ignored because we're not in the main section. And therefore, you know, it has a huge consequence, which takes years to correct because the census only comes around every 10 years.
Mahul's been actively campaigning to get Jainism added to the list of recognised religions.
Jainism is so much about an attitude and a way of life and an identity that you're proud of. Now, most Jains historically have shied away from saying that they're Jain simply because the next question is, who are they? And so they now need to, you know, have some understanding of Jain history, and which most of them, you know, perhaps don't. So they've shied away from that. And what we want to do by putting it on the census is basically, you know, make it something people wear with pride.
COVID-19 has added a degree of difficulty to the many priorities Mahul has had to juggle. He and his fellow Jains are looking to spiritual verses from their faith to guide them through this most challenging of times. Jain nun Samani Pratabhyaga reads this one, first in Sanskrit, then in English.
May all beings engage in each other's well-being. May all weakness, sickness, and faults diminish and vanish.
Yes, Anil Bhai.
Maintaining the ability for Jains in the UK to practice their faith during the pandemic, at home and as a community, became one of Mahul's major goals. When they couldn't perform religious rites and rituals in person like they usually would, Mahul and his wife Arshana helped the community concentrate on what's within their control and what isn't.
Prakash, I'm just going to put everyone on mute.
Okay.
Mahul's helped to foster this through organizing lectures, prayer sessions, and even yoga classes like this one over Zoom, ensuring his small, close-knit community, many of whom are elderly, aren't left isolated.
And we'll say Omkar three times. Take a deep breath and say, oh.
So one thing is to spend that time effectively, you know, reading, contemplating, meditation and so on. Now that you're stuck in one place using technology, you know, visiting temples remotely in India is possible, listening to sermons is possible, looking at prayer that's going on, you know, in other places is possible. And so I think it's actually opened horizons and, you know, made this far more meaningful.
Shanti.
Mahul's wife Arshana agrees.
It's also brought a lot of people together because, you know, realistically, when you're in prayer in a temple on your own, it is a solitary practice. Whereas now, you know, people are actually inviting a whole Zoom community into their home whilst they are in prayer. So for example, where you'd go to a temple and actually do sort of, you know, temple worship rituals like anointing the statue on your own, you now have one person in their home doing it and an entire Zoom community linked in watching. You know, religion and ritual became much more accessible.
Chattari paramangani Dullahaniha Jantuno. Showing wisdom here in this world by a living being. Energy, self-restraint, and self-control.
Like Hindus and Buddhists, Jains like Mahul believe in reincarnation and seek to attain ultimate liberation, which means escaping the continuous cycle of birth, death and rebirth, so the immortal soul lives forever in a state of bliss. Jains achieve liberation by eliminating all karma from the soul.
You're listening to Sacred Steps, a series from KALW's The Spiritual Edge. You can hear more great stories like the one you're hearing right now by following The Spiritual Edge in your podcast app, or go to thespiritualedge.org. Now back to the profile about Jain innovator Mehul Sangharajka.
In his office, framed images of Jain teachers and religious ornaments share space on the shelves.
The big round image is that of Mahavira, the last great Jain teacher. Next to him is Parshvanatha, who was the 23rd Jain teacher, probably lived around 700 BC.
Before COVID-19, Mehul spent less time in his office than in far-flung parts of the world. Jain concepts shape his approach to business, philanthropy, and helping those beyond his own faith. Though he's been helping serve the needs of his own community during the pandemic, Mehul's also worked hard to extend his support and leadership to people beyond it. Mehul's also the CEO of a social enterprise that focuses on improving the life chances for children through digital technology. Before and during the pandemic, he's focused this leadership on the field of distance learning.
So what we did very early on is that we put a model together with Microsoft to say we'd provide our technology for free for a period of time. And, you know, we're potentially looking at over 1 million kids coming onto that platform, which I think will be tremendous.
A while ago, Mehul's desire to give children around the world opportunities for education led him to reach out to other tech leaders within his network. More than a quarter century ago, with those who brought into his excitement and vision, he began brainstorming the possibilities of expanding learning beyond the traditional classroom.
To go out into areas where internet isn't always there, you know, that children don't have basic desks and books and the kind of things you take for granted. Sometimes they don't have teachers. Sometimes they're in scenarios where, you know, coming to school is a big problem because of, you know, the challenges of their home life. You know, improving their well-being is hugely satisfying.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm Mehul. How are you doing? You're looking good. Haven't seen you in quite a while.
The reach of his organization, Learning Possibilities, now expands as far as India and the Philippines.
Many, many years ago, we decided to become a social enterprise, which for us actually means that we focus massively on the impact we create, not just the financial results we generate. And therefore, you know, we're heavily focused on this idea of impact and of improving lives.
The principle of karma and his continual quest to eliminate it underpins Mehul's ongoing effort to expand the reach of his social enterprise.
Ignorance is the cause of most misery. And so the opposite of that is education. And so, you know, for me, it's something that I think, you know, you do once to a child, but will have a lifelong impact. And that is part of my religion. And providing knowledge to kids is, you know, what I'm very comfortable doing as a Jain, because it's, you know, it has a strong basis in my belief. Ultimately, I don't think there is anything you can really achieve alone. You know, as Jains, we learn at an early age that life is interdependent. Nothing is going to happen without the goodwill of the many. And without their support, this journey would have ended, you know, a long time ago.
Mehul's workload has increased massively since the pandemic, with more demand and need for remote learning everywhere. It's meant he's balancing his responsibilities in keeping the Jain community in the UK connected and empowering children through education. He's now talking with education officials in 8 countries he hadn't communicated with before. He had spent years trying to convince skeptics that remote learning technology was a feasible way to create educational opportunities for those most in need.
It's really sad that it takes a pandemic for people to open their eyes and see this, because we've been talking about this, you know, since the late 90s. If you look at, you know, how long I've been doing this, I think it's now come to 25 years. And if I'm honest, you know, it's been quite a tough 25 years. I think there comes a time which gives you the golden opportunity, you know, whether it's the universe, whether it's karma, whether it's God, this is the point at which, you know, everything that we've said up to now has just started to come through. From a faith perspective, it's a huge reward, and therefore that keeps you engaged and keeps you driving and fighting the hurdles and overcoming them.
Labha labhi sui dukhi jeevye marne taha. Facing challenges is a part of life we must all face.
Mahul has to maintain a constant juggling act, balancing his deep-rooted commitment to providing education through technology during the global pandemic, while ensuring his community of Jains in the UK aren't neglected, continuing to learn, grow, and understand more about their faith.
Om Namo Arihantanam.
Mahul will continue to support and champion the Jain community, while ensuring education through remote learning reaches as many children around the world as possible. Family worship at home has become a regular practice. But how else has the pandemic affected Mahul and his wife Arshana's family life?
I think I should answer that, don't you?
Well, before you do, I'll say my few words. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, go for long walks daily, to eat together. You know, we've survived and I think it's, again, you know, because we, through our religion and our belief, have a lot of integrity, I think, have a lot of things in common. Okay, now your turn.
We've had so many more dinner table debates over various concepts, or, you know, if someone's having a difficult time with something, we've talked about it a lot more openly and drawn on different things to try to understand, you know, each other's points of view. It's been finding happiness in simple things.
Mahul says the pandemic has brought the essence of his faith to the forefront, leaving what he hopes will be a lasting legacy for him, the Jain community, and society at large.
Look at how many people have started to look at a vegetarian or vegan diet. Look at the way that, you know, people are looking after animals or treating animals, and also this drive to kind of eradicate poverty. All of these things, I think, are an awakening. Because what we see today is the consequences of that. It's almost as if God has kind of, you know, sent us to our rooms, you know, to learn our lesson before we can come out again.
Dosha prayantu nasham sarvatra sukhi bhavatu lokah. May the whole universe be blessed. May everyone, everywhere, be blissful and at peace.
For The Spiritual Edge, I'm Mathar Ahmed.
You've been listening to a story from the Sacred Steps series. We're a production of KALW's The Spiritual Edge in collaboration with USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. If you haven't already, follow The Spiritual Edge podcast wherever you listen. We've got more great stories on the way, and you won't want to miss them. Support for Sacred Steps comes from the John Templeton Foundation and the Templeton Religion Trust. Cheryl Duvall is the Sacred Steps editor. Tarek Fuda is the engineer. Lindsay Myers-Humley is the digital content manager. Tom Levy is the photographer for The Spiritual Edge. We're grateful to all the people who helped get this Spiritual Edge podcast out into the world, including Megan Suisse, Heba Farag, Ben Trefney, Shireen Adel, Sadia Tirmizi, Jeffrey Burke-Witten, and Megan Jones. We'd love it if you could help share the word about these stories. We think they're special. If you like what you're hearing, you can give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, share us on social media, or tell your friends. I'm Judy Silber. Thanks for listening.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.